I think we will still be figuring that out for many years to come. But I think right now, with a little bit of hindsight in the rearview mirror, you know, for one thing, I think not underestimating the disconnect between sort of urban and rural, perhaps, between coastal and the middle of the country, between sort of the establishment and everybody else. You know, I myself went into the 2016 campaign. I'd been hired to cover the Republican primary for NPR. Certainly not expecting I'd be covering Donald Trump as the nominee. I don't think anyone did. But it became obvious pretty quickly going from rally to rally just how much energy and enthusiasm there was for his candidacy. And then we saw that on the left as well with Bernie Sanders, the sort of surprising rise of Bernie Sanders. Just this appetite in the country for something new, something different. I think that's one. And I think, you know, closely connected to that, to listen closely to what people are saying. And that sounds so basic as a reporter. That's all we kind of have is what we see and hear and observe and what people tell us. But I think if we looked for signs along the way, people were telling us that they wanted something different and that a typical establishment candidate wasn't going to work this time around. You know, here we are.
Here we are indeed. And what was there a moment for you where you realized, hey, this candidate, Donald Trump, really has a legitimate shot not only at the Republican nomination, but to win the presidency?
I don't want to give myself too much credit because certainly looking at the polls, at least the general election polls, nobody expected Trump to win. That wasn't because there was some big media conspiracy to suppress him, but because that's what the polls were telling us. And, you know, I'm not a pollster, so I can't fully explain what they missed or why or how that happened. But I think there were a lot of moments where I kind of had this foreshadowing that this could really go somewhere. The very first time I covered him was in July of 2015 in South Carolina. And I went into that event expecting, you know, probably a small crowd. This was the weekend, right after the weekend that he had been at a forum where he said that Senator John McCain was not a war hero because he was captured, and everybody was predicting Trump's demise. I show up, there's a big crowd of people waiting to get into this event. They have their red Make America Great Again hats on. They have handmade signs. There's also a crowd of protesters. It was really, you know, a foreshadowing of what's to come. And I was surprised by the energy in the room, by the size of the crowd, and just by Trump's presentation, how he really sort of had the crowd in the palm of his hand. I would see that again and again. And it was very consistent. It didn't really change. And he was able to draw crowds, you know, on cold nights in New Hampshire and Iowa. He was able to basically rebound from every single what would be a faux pas or a fatal error for just about any other politician. He was able to come back from that again and again, and it didn't really seem to affect him. And so I think watching that happen over and over again, it was kind of an accumulation of, like, this candidate has a real following. And, you know, whatever the polls are predicting, whatever the pundits are saying, there's something happening here. And I think I even think back to the weekend before the election when still everyone was predicting that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And I just remember Trump went on this huge spree of, you know, 4 or 5 rallies a day. We were just hopping all over the country from place to place. And, you know, we walked into like suburban Detroit, a big rally outdoors, and it was cold and people were bundled up. And the venue was just packed and the crowd was, you know, electric. And I felt it, you know, kind of in my gut, he's going to win. But as a journalist, you're careful not to read too much into your own sort of gut feelings and hunches, because they can be wrong, and mine are wrong sometimes too. But I think seeing it up close for months and months and months, it wasn't a shock on election night.
Yeah, one of the questions throughout the campaign was whether evangelical Christians would support Donald Trump. How did you see kind of that dynamic playing out on the campaign trail?
I met a lot of conservative Christians. And Texas Senator Ted Cruz won the Iowa caucuses. And there were, you know, quite a few other candidates that were probably the first choice for most evangelicals. And that aside, I met a lot of conservative Christians who said, you know, I have some misgivings about Donald Trump. I wish his language were a little cleaner. I wish he wouldn't tweet so much. I wish he were just a little more humble. But, you know, if I have to, if push comes to shove, I won't vote for Hillary Clinton. I'll vote for him. I heard that again and again. during the primary and then certainly in the general election cycle. I remember, you know, one really good example of this was at a Ted Cruz rally in Wisconsin leading into the Wisconsin primary. And I met a woman there. And, you know, this was kind of Ted Cruz's last big push to try to see if he could, you know, knock Trump down. And this woman was a really big Cruz fan. But I asked her, you know, if Trump does win, what'll you do? I asked her, what do you think of Trump? And she wasn't a huge fan, but I said, if he wins, what will you do? And she said, you know, I don't really want to tell you because it's kind of rude. And I was like, okay, well, you can just tell me. I couldn't imagine what this like middle-aged nice lady in Wisconsin was going to say that was so horrible. And she goes, well, if Trump wins, I'll just go into the voting booth with a barf bag. You guys are in Illinois. You know the Wisconsin accent.
Oh, we know it very well. Yes,
so, indeed. You know, and that I think sort of encapsulated in many ways how a lot of people felt. Like, he wasn't the first choice, but there were a lot of, you know, conservative Christians, social conservatives were going to vote for him over the other option.
Was that, do you think, in large part because of the opening on the Supreme Court? How much of a factor do you think that played, that there was an open spot on the court and that a lot of conservatives were really concerned about filling that spot on the bench with somebody like a Neil Gorsuch who fit with what they wanted?
It was huge. That was really a rallying cry among social conservatives in general. Certainly evangelical groups like Family Research Council and others. You know, people that again probably wouldn't have come out for Trump in the primary. When it came down, you know, push came to shove, I would hear over and over again from both sort of leaders in these movements and also just individual voters, you know, the Supreme Court is at stake. We have an open seat. You know, we had an open seat at the time and a lot of, you know, aging Supreme Court justices. The next president will really choose the future of the court and potentially the country for decades to come. And so that absolutely was what it came down to for a lot of people. And the specific issues they were watching were, of course, abortion, but also things like religious freedom and just, you know, broader conservative concerns. Speaking here, of course, about Republican voters.